Let's pray. Father, tonight we attempt to put ourselves in the shoes of Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago. Disciples who have just seen their rabbi, their teacher, their friend be arrested, beaten up, and executed. All their hopes and dreams were riding on him and what he would do, and he's gone. He's been killed. We try to put ourselves in their shoes because we know the other side of the story. We know Sunday's coming, but they lived in a world where there, for them, was no Sunday coming. Everything had fallen apart. All their dreams had been crushed. All their hopes had been dashed on the rocks of the reality that Jesus was dead. He had been defeated. The story was over. And so tonight, on this Good Friday, we're here. We're here to grieve for the cross. We're here to grieve for the body broken and blood poured for us. But we're also here to be transformed. We believe that something that happened on the cross has made this new possibility open to us, this life, this gift of God that we are invited to live in, to be transformed by, and to be changed by. And so as we take just a few moments tonight to think about what this means for us, as we take a few moments tonight and just a bit to take communion, to take this bread and dip it in this cup as a way of identifying with and celebrating and honoring and observing this death of Jesus, we pray that you will make us very aware of what this night means. That this night this night is crucial. This night is important. This night is central to what it means to be a Christian, that Christ died for us. So meet us. We know you're here. Help us to tune in and pay attention to what you're saying and doing. I firmly believe that your Spirit wants to do a work in us tonight, that you want to move in us if we'll just let you, if we'll just push aside everything that gets in the way, all the distractions, everything that we've got to do later, everything that we have left unfinished. If we could just push all that aside for a moment, Father, I do believe you want to say something and you want to challenge us and you want to speak to us and you want to transform us. So help us to get out of your way so that you can do what it is you need to do. We pray this in the name of our crucified Savior Jesus. Amen. A writer named Garrett Kaiser, in a book he wrote a few years ago, said that Christ did not solve the cross. He suffered it. Christ did not solve it. He didn't solve the cross. He suffered the cross. Central to being a Christian is this Good Friday, which on the face of it is not very good, because on this Friday, Jesus, the Messiah, the one who was supposed to bring hope and joy and peace into the world, he is executed. He's killed. His life cut off. And for his first disciples, everything was riding on him. All their hopes and dreams for the future, all their hopes and dreams for what God might do in and through their lives in the future, everything that they dreamed of through this Jesus, who now, for them, about this time on Friday night, he would have been in a tomb, dead. And so they're left to try to figure out what to do next, and they're left to sort through the pieces. And so tonight, as we gather, we're people who know the other side of the story, but they don't know the other side of the story. And so for just a moment, it's a bit humbling and a bit awe-inspiring for me to try to put myself in their shoes and think about what was it like to be one of Jesus' first disciples on this day. And often when we, as Christians with 2,000 years of hindsight, look back on this moment, and even the early Christians, the writers like Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, when they begin to look back even early on this moment where Jesus dies on the cross and his body is broken and blood poured out for us, they begin to talk about the cross in a very specific way. They begin to talk about the cross not as just this tragic event which Jesus suffered, although it was. An innocent person is executed and suffered, and that's tragedy. But they begin to describe the cross as being something that was done for us. Very early on in the Christian movement, when they begin talking about Jesus' death on the cross, they begin adding those words. It's not just the cross, but it's the cross for us. That somehow what Jesus does on the cross applies to you and you and you and me and you and you. It somehow is for all of us. Notice how some of the early writers put this. Notice what Paul says in Romans 3. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Now, if you've been with us throughout this last series, atonement is about how peace is made with God. And so what Paul says here is that somehow Christ's death is a sacrifice of atonement. It's somehow Jesus dying is for us because it makes peace between us and God. In 1 Corinthians 15, notice how Paul puts it. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Christ died, but that's not all. He died, but he died for our sins. He died for us. Notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. He begins his letter like he would often do. He would begin his letter, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God, our God and Father." Christ Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus dies, and his death is a gift for us. Can we go to the next one? 1 Peter chapter 1. "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Jesus' death is for us, and it delivers us and rescues us from an old, empty way of life. I think we have a couple more, just to kind of give you a brief picture of what the New Testament says. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body." Christ suffered to bring you to God. I don't know, when you think about the cross, I'm sure often many of us think about it this way. Christ died for us. That this death, this body broken and blood poured, it's for you. It's for me. It's a gift. Jesus gives himself for us. Which I don't know, if you're like me, implies that we needed something. That we weren't just okay, good people on our own. There's something broken inside of us, and that somehow through this Jesus, through his death, through the body broken, God gives us what we needed. He gives us grace. He gives us life, that through Jesus' death, we are given something. Notice one more, and I think Paul says, or the writer 1 Timothy says this well, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body." He suffered to bring you to God. There's a very real sense when Christians talk about the cross. And I bet for you and for me, when we speak the words the cross, it's often attached in some way to speaking about what the cross means for us. That on the cross, for us, Jesus died for our sin. And what the cross for us is about, the cross for us saves us, it redeems us, it rescues us, it reconciles us, and it's once and for all. I don't know if you caught that in some of those scriptures we just read, but Jesus died once and for all. It's not this repeatable thing that has to happen again and again. Jesus dies on the cross, and this moment is so epic and so definitive and history defining that in this one moment, they can look back on it and say that when Jesus dies on the cross, it is an unrepeatable one-time deal. Jesus is not going to die on the cross again. In this one moment in history, 2,000 years removed from us, but this one moment in history, Jesus dies on the cross for us once for all. Think about that. There's this great verse in Hebrews where we're reminded by the author, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is not happening again. What Jesus accomplishes on the cross in his death is once for all. The cross for you that saves you, that rescues you, that redeems you, that makes atonement for your sins, that makes peace between you and God. That cross for you, for me, is a one-time event, once for all. Jesus dies for us, and we've got it. Right? I mean, that's what the writer said. Jesus dies for us. And that somehow through faith in this death for us, we enter into some sort of relationship with God where we're given peace and life and everything else. Here's the issue. Most of the time when we talk about the cross, this is where we end. How many of us have been to those services where somebody says, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Now, bow your heads and pray this prayer, and then you repeat the prayer, and then they send you out. And the assumption is that you know everything you need to know about the cross. The cross has done its job for you once and for all, and that you are now a completely changed, different person. Here's the problem with that. How many of us have either know people or are people? This is one of those situations where you would usually say, I have a friend who, but you're really talking about you. You know somebody or you are somebody. I am somebody who grew up hearing all about the cross for me. I heard sermon after sermon from red-faced preacher after red-faced preacher about the cross for me. And yet, there was a very real sense in I think this can still happen if you're not careful. There's a very real sense when I can know everything about the cross for me and still not be changed. You can know everything. You can have really big theological words like atonement. And you can know what it means and you can describe it. And you can say, on the cross, I have absolute faith that Jesus died for me. And for most of my life, I've had absolute faith that Jesus died for me. But yet, I don't know about you. But there have been times knowing that I have not been transformed and I have not been changed. And I would actually say that, yeah, I know what the cross did for me, but I feel miles and miles and miles away from God. And I believe that that's true. I intellectually assent to it. I believe it in the sense that I'm staking everything on it. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Yet, I feel disconnected from God. I feel like the brokenness inside me is actually getting worse, not getting healed. And I really actually feel like that no matter what I know about the cross for me, it's not ultimately changing me. I don't know if that's ever been your story, but you go to church and you nod at the right times and you read the Bible and you nod at the right times and you affirm things and you believe things. But yet there's this real sense like you know what the cross does for you. But yeah, it's possible to know all about what the cross does for you. It's possible to believe in what the cross does for you. And it's actually really possible to walk away unchanged, still feeling disconnected, still feeling broken, and still not really feeling like anything happening inside of you. Has anybody else had that experience? Now, the Bible makes a big deal out of the cross for us, and I affirm it. Jesus died on the cross for us. His body was broken and blood was poured for our sins, and that is a great starting point. The problem is we often end there. We say amen, we dismiss, and we go home. But I want to spend some time tonight focusing on another component, because if in the equation all you have is the cross for us, then you're missing a vital element to what the cross actually accomplishes. And I would call this the cross in us. There's the cross for you, Jesus dying for our sins, body broken and blood poured to give us life. The cross for us, where Jesus dies for us, our sin is on him. A once for all, unrepeatable event. And yet there's this other part to the cross. There's this the cross at work, not just for us, but in us. Notice what Paul says in Galatians. We looked at this passage on a Sunday a couple weeks ago. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul sees the cross as not just something Jesus does, but something he's called to participate in. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I've been crucified with Christ, and I died, and now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I'm living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I've actually experienced something with the cross. It's not just something the cross did for me. It's something the cross did in me. So, and it's so transformative, and it's changed me to the point where I can say that the guy you're looking at now isn't the same guy. I'm different in some way. Christ is actually living in me. And it has this progressive sense to it. The life I'm living now in the body, because I'm living now and I hope to be living quite a bit longer, and the life that I live now and going forward, I'm living by faith in a Christ who is in me and within me and doing things, changing me, remaking me. Paul sees the cross as not just something Jesus does, but something that we step into and participate. It's something that happens in us when we come to faith in this Jesus, when we trust, yes, this cross for us, a gift of God, then the cross doesn't stop there. It works in us. Notice what he says later in Galatians chapter 6. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Something is happening inside this guy. Would you agree? He's being changed. One of my favorite pieces of Paul's writing is in Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And essentially, this is like when you follow Jesus, something changes inside of you, and a certain kind of character, a certain virtue, a certain life is produced. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Don't you love that? He's like, you're not breaking any rules if you have these things happening inside of you. This is all good stuff. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Paul says, what I've learned to find is that there's this moment where Christ died for me, a once and for all unrepeatable event. But I trust that, but I'm going to wake up tomorrow, hopefully, and I'm going to go to work, or I'm going to hang out with people. I'm going to be thinking about things. I'm going to be doing things. There's going to be stuff going on. And I need a cross that doesn't just have one thing to say to me, like, okay, you believe this, you're good. I need a cross that actually does something in me so that I can be more like Jesus. And Paul says, here's what it is. When you have been crucified with Christ and the cross is an ongoing inside of you work, then guess what happens? It begins to produce different sorts of things in you that you never knew were there. One of my favorite scholars, Dwight Pryor, he's a Christian who essentially spends his life studying Judaism and Jesus' connection to Judaism. He says, the once for all atoning work done for us by Jesus at the cross is also meant to be an ongoing redemptive work of Jesus done within us by his indwelling Spirit. We talked about the cross for us, saves, redeems, atones, rescues. The cross for us makes us right with God. Well, if that's the case, then I would argue the cross in us is about healing, hope, joy, life, shalom, peace. And I would argue that the cross in us is not a once for all moment. I would argue that what the cross does in us is a progressive, ongoing process and journey. How many of you, if you've at some point trusted Jesus and you've experienced the cross for you, how many of you walked away from that moment having everything you needed in that moment from God? And I've actually heard people say things like, you know, really, all you need is to have like this moment with God where you pray this prayer, you come to the front of the church, come to the altar, and all you need is that moment. And somehow when you get up from that moment, you're going to love people that you've never loved before, and you're going to have all kinds of hope you never had before. And you're going to, if you were the most sour grape in the bunch, you're going to be the most joyful person people have ever met before. And often that happens kind of in a moment initially, but you know what happens later? And here's what I found. I became a Christian because a preacher told me, not that I might die that night, he told me I was going to. And so I thought, this guy knows something I don't, I'm going to listen. And so I became a follower of Jesus, and I got really excited about it, and I started reading my Bible all the time. I would call my friends and say, guess what I just read in the book of Revelation? They would say, we don't care, that's creepy. And I had kind of this real excitement, but what happened slowly over time is what I began to realize is that passion waned. And it's because with all good intentions, I was told all you need is the cross for you. This one-time event where Jesus dies and gives you everything you need. And what I found out that the Christian life, being a Christian, being on this journey, means that I need the cross in me at work every single day. I need healing. Because I don't know about you, but I'm prone to bitterness. I'm prone to hold grudges against people. I have been hurt by people. I've been wounded by people. And that has left a scar on me and on my soul. And I need a cross that doesn't just say, well, Jesus died for you, so someday you're going to punch that ticket and you're going to have a great time in heaven. I need a faith that says right now in this life, the cross has something else to say to you. And it's that your hurt and your pain do not have to define you forever. And I need a cross, and I hope you need a cross, is an ongoing work that's healing you, that's putting you back together. I need hope. I don't know about you, but I need hope. There are some days when I can be really, I mean, not just pessimistic, just hopeless about situations and about people. And I need a cross that can speak to me now in me every single day and say, there's hope. I need a joy, not just some kind of fake happy where you just try to pretend like everything's okay. I need a real joy, the kind of joy that you can't fake. I need a cross that makes that possible. I need a cross that gives me life. Not just life some other day, some other place, some other time. Not just life after death. I need a cross that gives me life before death. I need a cross that speaks and challenges me and convicts me and shapes me and molds me and breathes life into me right here and right now. And I love this word shalom. The Hebrew concept of shalom is a bigger picture than peace. When we think of the word peace, we just think of absence of conflict. Jesus would often say this to people when he healed them. After he would heal them physically, he would often, before or after that, he would heal them spiritually. He would say to them, your sins are forgiven, rise and walk. Right? You've read Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Now you can see. What's amazing, Jesus always ended those encounters by saying this, go in peace. Peace is shalom. Peace. Shalom is essentially the presence of God being with you. It's everything being in its proper place. It's when everything is just right. See, what I believe about the cross of Jesus is I believe that what Jesus does on the cross is he gives us a salvation that's holistic. And what I mean by that is it is a salvation that doesn't just take care of us after this life. It is a salvation that takes care of us in this life. It is a salvation that brings hope and healing and joy and life and shalom in this life. It starts now. It begins here. What Jesus does on the cross for us is a once-for-all unrepeatable event, and we thank God for it. He dies for our sin. But what the cross does in us is an ongoing, daily, progressive journey. And I don't know about you, but I'm really keen on what the cross has done for me, but I resist what the cross is trying to do in me. They tell me in historical sources that crucifixion was very painful. They say it was brutally painful. We follow a Jesus who died a brutally painful death for our sin. Why do we believe that the work of the cross in us will be easy? Why do we believe that all there is to being a Christian is showing up on like a Sunday or intellectually assenting to some statement of faith or dogma? Why do we believe that ultimately all God wants to do is to make us really good people? The work of the cross in us, it's supposed to be painful. It's a cross. It's a cross we're invited to. Paul says that what Jesus is doing, and he's been crucified with Christ. I don't think he meant that metaphorically in the sense that we think he did. I think he meant, I literally feel like I'm being crucified with Christ because he's working on me and he's shaping me and he's changing me. And the old habits and behaviors and ways of thinking and ways of treating people and the old wounds that I've been carrying around that have been festering in my soul, he's actually bringing healing to those. And it's painful on the front end, but as I begin to be healed, there's this amazing relief. Several years ago, in a church league softball game, I broke my ankle. I was stealing third base. They tell me I was safe. But when I looked at my ankle the first time, it was completely turned around backwards. It was completely dislocated and broken. And I remember getting to the hospital, and the doctor said he was going to give me a shot that was going to make it feel better, and it didn't make it feel better. And so he decided that he was going to pop my ankle back in place without telling me. And when he did it, there was this simultaneous moment for me where I screamed out loud in agony. And the very next breath, there was this sweet, unbelievable relief. And I would argue that the cross in us, in one sense, is this unbelievable agony because God is working on us. And he's saying, you can't keep carrying that around. You can't keep being shaped by that. You can't keep, you need something more than what you've got. And sometimes letting go is painful. Saying to God, yes, I'm a bitter, cynical person with no hope and no joy. That can be difficult. Saying to God, I have an ego problem. I have this really big problem that I love to be the center of not only the room, but the universe. Can be very painful. And when you begin to surrender to the cross in you, there's this moment where you will want to scream in absolute agony, but in the next breath, there's this sweet relief of healing that begins to take place in us. Because the cross isn't just a past event. The cross is a present. It didn't just happen. It happens. And so before we come to communion, I want to ask you this question. Where do we need to experience the cross at work in us? Where do we need the cross at work in us? Are you carrying around some things? And you've believed all the right things about Jesus, and you've believed all the right things about the cross. You could pass like any kind of Bible trivia exam. You know it. And you could cite it, and you know where it's at in the Bible, and you can quote it. But yet there are some things inside of you, some deadly things, some things that are rotting you from the inside out, and the cross for you isn't taking care of that. It's because God intended the cross in you to take care of that. Do you need to surrender some people to God? People who've hurt you, people who've wounded you, people who've left scars, do you need to begin to surrender them to God? Are you carrying around some unchecked pride? And what the cross, you desperately need the cross to do in you is some sort of humility where you realize that ultimately it's not really about us, it's not about me, it's ultimately about God and his kingdom and his purposes in the world. Are you here tonight and you're completely and utterly hopeless? And tonight you need to surrender yourself to the reality, to the truth, to the possibility that maybe the cross in you can begin to produce a bit of hope. Do you need joy? And that may be a question for the people around you, maybe more than you. Do you need joy? Do you need to surrender yourself to the work of the cross in you, which somehow produces this gift of joy? Is there something that needs healed? Do you need peace? Do you need the overarching sense that God is with you and he's working on you and he's working in you and he's not abandoned you? The cross in us is an ongoing, daily, progressive experience where every single day we're met with this agony of where we've fallen short, but this sweet relief of the grace that meets us and calls us further. Where do you need the cross in you? At work, healing, shaping, calling you closer to the person Jesus died to make you. We don't argue that on the cross, in the cross for us, Jesus died so that we could become certain kinds of people in the world. I'm just arguing that the only way you become those people is through the cross in you. When you came in tonight, hopefully you were handed a little card. Looks about something like this. Your is probably a different color. And hopefully you have an ink pen. Maybe we handed some out at the beginning. There should be some around you in the seats. And here's what we're going to do tonight. And this is not like a mandatory thing. We just wanted to try to create some sort of experience because I realized, at least for me, talking about this is great, but sometimes I need to do something right away with it in order to really make it take root in my heart. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. Over here, it'll be lit up in a moment. We're going to have, we have a cross here. And we have a few hammers, and we have a bag of nails. And we're going to have some of our elders, leaders, are going to be over there. And they're just going to be there to pray with you if you want to pray, or if you need some help actually doing some nailing, they're going to help you with that. They'll be available if you need them. But here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Just take a few moments as we enter into this time of communion and this time of just reflection. And write something on this card that you desperately want to see the cross do in you, that you need to see the cross do in you. And if it's something you're afraid somebody will see that, you know, just write a code word that you'll know what it is. But there's something about getting that out, about actually speaking it or writing it down that makes it real, isn't there? I mean, you can brush it under a rug, but when it's out there, it's out there. Sometimes the courage to just speak it or write it or say, this is what I'm struggling with, is the first step on a journey toward healing. And for some of us tonight, this little example, experience, illustration, whatever you want to call it, this could be the beginning of God actually being able, because we're open to it, hit the cross, actually being able to do some things in us that God has always dreamed it would. So we're going to invite you. We're going to actually, for this part of our service, we're going to end with a song a bit later, but for this part, we're just going to play some music so that everybody can participate in this. And we're going to give you some time. We're going to give each other some time. We'll have a couple of our leaders up here serving communion. And you can come take that whenever you're ready. And if at any point you decide, hey, I want to do this. I want to speak this. I want to write it out. And I want the cross to work in me. Then bring it up. And we have hammers and nails. And we invite you just to nail those into the cross. Cross for you. Cross for me. It's beautiful. It saves us, rescues us, redeems us, makes atonement for us. And it is a great first part. But tonight we need the cross in us, healing, bringing hope and joy and the shalom that God desires for you. So I just want to pray, and then I just want to kind of open this up. And if you need to talk or pray, we'll have elders over here. I'll be hanging out down there. I'd love to pray with you. Let's just let this be a moment where we're real honest with God about where we are. And let's just be this moment where we open ourselves up to this invitation he's given us to let the cross work in us tonight. Father, we recognize that the cross for us is a beautiful gift. Jesus, the scripture says, gave himself for us. That cannot be emphasized enough, that Jesus gave himself for us. But Father, in the same breath, what we're learning is that we need the cross at work in us, a progressive, ongoing, continuous work in us to continually heal us, to continually give us hope, to continually give us joy. We need the cross shaping us, working on us, working with us. And so as we come tonight, as we come and take communion, as we take this bread, and we dip it in this cup, like we've done every Sunday now for several weeks, we ask you to make it real. That tonight maybe we'll approach this Eucharist, this bread and wine, as if this were the first time we'd ever taken it. And be reminded of these words, that this is the body of Jesus broken and the blood of Jesus poured for us. And tonight, as we come to the cross, and for some of us as we take a moment to get honest about where we're at and where we're not, as we take a moment to be honest about what we desperately need the cross to do in us, may we experience the life that comes through that. May we experience the life that comes through being honest and getting real about where we are. We're not perfect. Everything's not okay. There's no person in this room who can say that everything's perfect, that everything's okay, because it's not. We're all broken and we're all hurting and we're all desperately in need of what the cross brings. So tonight, we thank you for the cross for us, this once and for all gift. And tonight, we're hungry and desperate for the cross in us, this ongoing journey and relationship with you that we desperately need. So open us up to what you have for us, challenge us, convict us, call us closer to yourself. May Jesus be honored by what happens here in these next few moments. We love you. We cannot thank you enough. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.